Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
Hello to all of you who survived the Thanksgiving celebrations. As if you didn't need any more, as if you needed more to know that I'm a little weird. I am somebody who just can't deal well with the house. I survived, but boy, is it tough. You know, we went to somebody's house whose name will be remain unmentioned, and this person just worked like a dog for 3 days to cook this, and I was feeling so tense. Everything, it was like there was so much moment to the how we felt about the stuffing and the turkey, and was going to come out, and it was the root vegetables cold, and it was like tense, and everybody was for it was terrible, and everybody was forced to say, oh, that was wonderful, that was delicious. I don't know, and then everybody's watching the football game, and I could care less about the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. And then everybody, of course, is waxing rhapsodic of the joys of family. And yet, you know, beneath the surface of that, there is so much tension in so many families where, you know, anyway, you get the point. Anyway, I am so glad to be here with you. I would so much rather be here with you than at family celebrations. So, anyway, for what that's worth. But we now transition from Thanksgiving to the next celebratory holiday, which, of course, is, we could say, the holidays in honor of Kwanzaa and Ramadan and winter solstice. But it is predominantly the Christmas season. And there is a very central work-related topic related to Christmas and work, and that is Christmas trees in the workplace. Should it be allowed? I've been doing a lot of thinking about that issue, and I'm going to share some pros and cons. It's a little more complicated issue, and I think more interesting issue than perhaps we normally think. And I am curious what you think. I'm going to lay out some arguments, and I'm curious whether you, which of the arguments you buy, whether you've got some other arguments of your own, either pro or con. And at the end, I will integrate my own thoughts with your thoughts, and I will come up with my position, if you will, or maybe somewhere in the middle. But in any case, here are some of, first of all, some of the arguments pro having Christmas trees in the workplace. It's a very, I don't know if the word useful, it is a positive non-religious symbol in America. It has certainly become secularized. It is a symbol of peace and goodwill and the reminder that we shouldn't be trying to screw each other, especially in the workplace where there are so many temptations, especially in this terrible economy. It's a nice symbol to remind us to slow things down. I like that. And now, you know, from my utilitarian standpoint, which is kind of a core underpinning of my philosophies, I believe that Christmas trees are a net plus. Well, the reality is that in most workplaces, the vast majority of employees are Christians. And for them, it is a feel-good thing to see. It is a supportive of their spiritual beliefs. And there are many others, I'll be honest, like me, although I'm an atheist, Jewish by birth, I enjoy seeing it for its secular reasons. And so you look at all the benefits that derive compared with the small percentage of people generally in most workplaces that are offended, and we can reduce some of those who take offense by, yeah, sticking a menorah, even though the Hanukkah is a very minor holiday in the Jewish religion. It certainly doesn't. It doesn't come close to equaling the birth of the Savior, of Jesus. But let's say, fine, we can reduce some of the resentment by having a Hanukkah thing or a Kwanzaa symbol if there is. And I know Ramadan comes a little right around this time. If there are symbols in the Islamic faith, you would think that from a utilitarian standpoint, having the tree yields far more good than it does negative, and therefore it should. Now, those are the pro arguments. But there are con arguments. To be honest, until yesterday when I was finishing preparing for this show, I didn't realize how religious a symbol the Christmas tree is. It's not just about rebirth and green. It's not that at all. Apparently, it had its origins in the 15th century. Whereas the story goes, St. Boniface, or St. Boniface, I don't know, depending upon your pronunciation, he was the guy who converted the German people to Christianity. and he was said to have come across a group of pagans who were worshiping an oak tree, and he was furious. And so he cut down the oak tree, and to his amazement, a young fir tree, that is the Christmas tree type tree, sprung up from the roots of the oak tree. And St. Boniface took this as a sign of the Christian faith. And, of course, our Christmas trees today have either a star, which is supposed to be a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem, or an angel, which is, again, a guardian Christian angel-type person, at the top. So, thus, the Christmas tree is truly a religious symbol. And just like a creche, most workplaces won't put a creche in a workplace unless the workplace is all Christian. And, you know, or you certainly, you know, don't have a Buddhist shrine. I've never seen a workplace with a Buddhist shrine in it. Therefore, as a religious symbol, the Christmas tree has no place in the workplace. There is another disadvantage, another con to having Christmas trees in the workplace, is it does intimidate some non-Christians. It makes them feel relatively unwelcome. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you've got all the panoply of religious symbols in there, I suppose it wouldn't be, but I suspect that the size of the tree would still make a Hanukkah bush or a menorah seem small in comparison. I sense that there probably are some non-Christians or atheists that make them feel a little less welcome in the workplace, or even might make them wonder, you know, in itself it's not evidence of prejudice, but wonder if there might be actual prejudice in what is substantive in the workplace, promotions, plum assignments, etc. And there is one other con I would like to mention to having Christmas tree in the workplace, and then I want to go to you, my dear listeners, and get your opinions on this. Having a tree, a Christmas tree in the workplace, risks offending at least some people. Not having a Christmas tree will offend no one. And it's certainly not a business necessity to have a Christmas tree. So those are the pros and cons. I do have an opinion, but I would rather, I want to remain open-minded to some of your thoughts before I render my, you know, the opinion I want to share with you. So I'll hold off on giving my opinion until I listen to you a bit. So it is listening time. So if you would like to call in and render your opinion on whether it is a good or a bad idea to allow a Christmas tree in the workplace, and you can talk about any variations, you know, Christmas tree and a creche, Christmas tree no creche, Christmas tree menorah, Christmas tree and the panoply of other symbols, you know, all those kind of things. I welcome your call here at Work with Marty Nemko. The phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. I guess this, while I'm waiting for the calls to come in, this is as good a time as any to share some of these variations that you could have. So in addition to, you know, Christmas tree plus creche, Christmas tree plus creche plus menorah, and what about in a workplace where everyone is a Christian? There are many, many workplaces in which everyone's a Christian. Does that make it automatically okay? Does there might be a visitor who isn't a Christian. Is that enough? Does that rise to the level where there should be, you know, where they would argue against having a Christmas tree in the workplace? What about if they took a vote? What about in a workplace? You took a vote, and America is a democracy. Majority generally wins, or even a supermajority, 60%. What if we have a workplace and you take a vote among all the workers? And if a majority or a supermajority vote yes, good, we have a Christmas tree. If not, no, or make it multiple choice. Give them multiple options. Just Christmas tree plus menorah, Christmas tree plus creche. You get the point. Okay. Now, what if, and there's one other variation on this, but first let me give out the phone number again. We are talking about, here on Work with Marty Nemko, we are talking about the wisdom or lack thereof of having a Christmas tree in the workplace. Perhaps augmented by other religious symbols of winter holidays like a Hanukkah menorah or some symbol of, I don't recall ever seeing symbols in the Islam religion. So I don't know if there is a Ramadan symbol. I do know they fast from sunrise to sunset, but that's a whole other story. Okay, but what if, in fact, just one person, let's say everybody wants to have the Christmas tree in the workplace, and one person claims it's a violation of their civil rights. They claim that it's a prohibition against discrimination based on religion. Should that trump? Should the legal team would say, oh, we better not have the tree? Should that, on an ethical basis, should that trump having the tree? 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 is the number if you would like to weigh in on whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea to have a Christmas tree in the workplace. All right, I think I shall share with you my position. My position is, unless the tree is emblematic of prejudice in that workplace, in other words, if the that is merely one of, they've got prayer meetings and the special, the people who go to the Christian prayer meetings tend to get all kinds of advantages in employment. They get the plum jobs, they get promotions, they get raises, they get all those things. Unless it's emblematic of actual prejudice in employment, I would, and it's a phrase that many people do not like, I would encourage people to lighten up. Not everything justifies taking offense. I believe that we take offense. We get offended too easily. There certainly is a reasonable argument that in the United States of America in the year 2012, while indeed the Christmas tree had a religious origins and it can still be viewed by Christians as a symbol of inspiration, it has become largely secularized. It is a beautiful tribute to nature. A tree is a miracle, whether you believe it's God created or evolution created. There's no question it is beautiful and often decorated wonderfully and becomes a source of connection among people who decorate the tree in the workplace. So, for as far as I'm concerned, I think this is the kind of thing we would be wise to say. We certainly do not want to be prejudiced against anybody in the workplace in terms of hiring, promotion, plum jobs. But in terms of the presence or absence of a tree, I would not put a creche in because that is a clearly religious symbol. I would probably, if an employee wanted, even one, if they wanted a Hanukkah menorah, fine, let's avoid the argument. If an African American wants a Kwanzaa symbol, fine, we'll have it. But I think in our ever more pressured workplace, a little bit of a symbol that provides a sense of perspective. Who could argue against peace and goodwill to all men and women? It seems to me that a Christmas tree is a lovely thing to put in one's workplace. All our lines are lighted up now, and now I am eager to hear what you have to say. Who knows? I may change my mind. That has happened many times. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air. What's your perspective?
Hello?
Hi.
Okay. I got incensed when I heard that you were talking, when I heard the topic, and then when I heard your defense, you gave a very good defense of having a Christmas tree in the workplace, but I have a strong objection. I've worked in a workplace. We had Christmas trees. I was raised Christian. I have seen the oppressive nature of all of this seeping out of religion into secular areas in our society. It seems like it's been in the last 20 years or so. And with the strong push by the conservative Republican religious people or the fundamentalists, whoever they are. And because of that, I mean, I agree with you, a Christmas tree is beautiful. And if people would say, we're having a Christmas tree, and guess what? It was a Druid symbol, and it has nothing to do with Christianity, I would be all for it. But you can't accept Christianity has taken over the Christmas tree like it takes over so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air. What do you think? Do you think Christmas trees in the workplace are good or bad, and why?
Hi, Marty. I think that they're a wasteful way for people to feel good. It's great that you hire people for the Christmas trees to get them there and get rid of them, but I think there's less wasteful ways to feel good and to hire people. I mean, you've got to manufacture the tree, you've got to haul it over there, you've got to put it up, you've got to decorate it, and then you've got to take it out, and someone's got to vacuum up all the needles and compost it. Why not instead hire people to take care of poverty-stricken kids and job programs for them and Meanwhile, you can feel good in other ways by just doing that. I mean, spirituality is supposed to be generosity of spirit, not just the trappings of something that visually looks good. You can still bring in, why not bring in like a potted plant and put a star on it or something. It's a universal symbol and people will feel good.
Very interesting perspective. What would you think of, if you were in my workplace and I said, you know, I am concerned about the environment too, even if it's only symbolic. So, you know, let us go to Salvation Army and we'll buy a used Christmas, artificial Christmas tree that will not require any growing or manufacturing or shipping. And we'll keep it forever and ever for 20, 30 years. So the environmental, the degradation in terms of our carbon footprint will be very small. And yes, so we'll have that there as a reminder of the true spirit of Christmas. And in addition, instead of giving each other crap for Christmas presents, we will create, we will collect donations, and we will give it to the charity of our choice. Would that satisfy you, or would you be offended?
Yes, it would satisfy me, and it's a great, brilliant idea if everyone in the workplace had true spirituality about it, and we're not hung up on all the religious issues. I actually, my mother sent me this little fake Christmas tree that plays music and goes around and around, and it was really this plastic crap manufactured. And I brought it over to someone who is extremely religious and lives alone, this elderly woman, who it just lit up her whole life. She was just, so it does, it really can mean a lot to people. And I think if you can work out the spirituality issues, I think you've got a brilliant solution.
You know, symbols, we live in a world where symbols remind us of important things. And what more lovely symbol about the right livelihood way to live than what the Christmas tree is supposed to be. And you said if nobody was offended, if let's say there were two or three people in a workplace who were offended. They said, you know, like the previous caller, you know, it really is Christian symbol and there's too much right-wing Republicans and all that stuff. You know what? The perfect is the enemy of the good. We want to do the most good for the most people as long as we don't violate somebody's important rights. I mean, we would never fire somebody because we would never physically hurt somebody. But if let's say one or two or three people are going in a 20-person workplace are going to feel offended that there is this Christian symbol in the workplace, but 17 people are living the reminder of that we shouldn't be just living like good people for the few weeks before Christmas, but all year, is not the greater good accrue from that? And shouldn't we honor that symbol?
That's very well said. And remember, for some people have very small lives, and the only thing they have in their lives is our religious symbols.
Good point.
And they will fight and die and kill for those things. And it's really, really, really unfortunate that they can't see the larger picture. But as long as you have someone, if you don't want someone like that in your workplace, don't hire them. So you just got to just know that you're working with a variety of people. And what is it going to be worth it to you? You've got to prioritize. If you're an employer, you've got to take everything into consideration and add up the pros and cons and see where you end up.
You know, it would be hypocritical, though, of me. Let's say there was this one worker who was furious and angry. It would be hypocritical of me to fire them or to ignore them. Wouldn't the real Christmas spirit be to listen really well? And if in the end I still decided to keep the Christmas tree, to give him or her a hug and say, I'm so sorry that you're having to suffer this. I'm hoping you can get through it. And maybe that would be a way to dissipate it in a more, I don't want to say Christian way, but in a more humane way.
Well, maybe so, but wouldn't you also then allow them to express their own religion in the workplace too?
I don't want a lot of expression of religion. Putting a tree up one time for a month in a year is not going to take a lot of time from the workplace. There's no proselytizing. There's no pressure. I'm not trying to turn the place into a Babylon where everybody's speaking.
I heard you say that earlier. That's true. However, as long as the others are going to be seeing it as a major religious statement of the year, is it going to be worth it for those other feelings? If you and I see it that way, but the others won't see it that way.
Okay, I want to thank you for the call. I really see that most people do not magnify the import of the presence of a Christmas tree into being a religious or a trigger for religious discussions, etc. Privately, they might want to, but I have not seen a proliferation of religiosity discussions in workplaces because of the presence of a tree. Let's go to the phones, though. Apparently, there's quite a bit of interest in this. So, welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. What is your opinion about whether we should have Christmas trees in the workplace and why?
What I like about it is the sensory. It smells good.
Huh.
It's real.
Right.
And a good-smelling tree, my favorite part of the Christmas season, is actually walking by any Christmas tree lot and smelling that smell.
That's a great point. You know, I like that. And, you know, I am not a severe environmentalist. I look at what is the likelihood that the environmental degradation of growing a tree and shipping it, is it going to really cool the planet and all that other stuff? I'm not going to get into that. The amount of pleasure that's derived is fairly large, and it does create jobs that are not evil. We're not selling tobacco here. It seems to me that whether it be, you know, it's a discretionary choice, whether an individual workplace, they want to recycle an artificial one, or they want to use a live one, or they want to compost it, or they don't. I don't think the world ends in these things. I think we get a little bit too intense about things that don't, in the larger perspective, and the larger perspective is what's important, aren't that critical.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to talk about annoyances at work, there are, whether it's loud voices in another cubicle.
Right.
Or I'll give you the most annoying thing, and actually the Christmas tree helps to counter it. Microwave popcorn. The smell is like nerve gas and permeates.
It's all chemicals. It's disgusting. Why don't people just buy... I know it's more convenient to throw it in the microwave, but if you like popcorn, you can get 2 pounds. You know, you go to a Trader Joe's or you go to Safeway or whatever, and you can get a 2-pound bag of raw popcorn for about $1.50, which makes about a vat for a huge amount full, and has no chemicals in it. But I digress. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. Let's go right back to the phones. We have a special caller. My wife, Dr. Barbara Nemco, is listening to this, and she couldn't resist. Barbara Nemco, should we have Christmas trees in the workplace? Why and why not?
Well, I am all for Christmas trees in the workplace. I'm surprised nobody called in and complained that there's a national holiday on Christmas. This was founded as a Christian country. And to me, I am so grateful that we live in a country that was founded as a Christian country and yet accepts all people, all religions. Everyone is free to express their religion at home in any way they want. A tree, to me, is the least religious symbol, and it's very festive. It's very holiday. People decorate their houses. There are lights. The stores are decorated. And so I'm not going to question whose spirituality is what or who believes in what. It's a festive time of year. It's they call it the Christmas season for a reason. And I think that because Christmas does evoke a sense of wanting to give to those who are less fortunate, well, it would be nice if all of us did that all year long. Many people don't, but at Christmas they do. And so it's a wonderful time for an office to get into the spirit of the season and take up a collection, whether they do toys for tots or food for the poor or whatever they do, wrapped around the Christmas season. So I am a great believer in what you said earlier. Lighten up. Let's not get offended so easily.
And, you know, we should let our listeners know, Barbara is not a Christian. Barbara is born Jewish. She's like me. She's an atheist. But she, it's not like she's defending her own tradition here. Of course, Barbara, as the superintendent of schools in Napa County, you have an office of 200 people. Do you have a Christmas tree in your office?
Always.
Tell me, and have there ever been any problem? You've been the superintendent for 15 years there now. Has there ever been a problem?
No.
We
had one person who said, I would like to see something for Hanukkah, so we bought the cutout letters and we hang up this little sign that says Happy Hanukkah.
And the first caller was the only caller who he was really kind of furious. He said it was the rampant increasing Christianization of the workplace, and it's the right-wing Tea Partiers. Your workplace, you know, Napa is a more religious place than the Bay Area. Have you noticed an increase in religiosity either because of the Christmas tree or in general? Have you seen any? Obviously, you wouldn't try to bring any religiosity to the workplace, Christian or otherwise. Have you noticed an increase in the religiosity in your workplace over recent years? And do you see any connection to the Christmas tree being there?
The only religiosity that I've noticed is the religiosity of having more fun. Everybody looks forward to this season. The day we put up the Christmas tree, we always have hot chocolate and cookies, and everybody comes in if they want to. Everybody who wants to picks up an ornament and puts it on the tree. Anyone who doesn't want to doesn't need to participate. No one's forcing anybody.
I'm asking the broader question.
There's no religiosity that I have ever seen in our office associated with that tree.
Okay. I love you very much, as always. Is there anything else, Barb, that you'd like to add, or should I go to that? We have all the lines lighted up.
Happy holidays.
Okay. I love you, Barb. I look forward to seeing you after the show.
Love you, too.
Okay,
bye.
Dear. Bye-bye. Okay, we are talking. This is Work with Marty Nemko. The topic is, are Christmas trees okay in the workplace? It bears to all kinds of issues about discrimination, about religious prejudice in the workplace. Are we taking things too seriously? Do we not have a sense of perspective? And I'm interested in your perspectives. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air.
Hi, Marty.
Yes.
I'm a sort of a born agnostic, and my perspective on this may be a little bit different. My understanding of the Christian religion, many major faiths is that, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
You're right that people probably should get off it about being so hypersensitive about their own religious beliefs. But the truth is that some people really have those deep feelings. And you know, rather than sort of making them wrong, why don't we just not have the Christmas tree and do unto them as we would have them do unto us if we had those beliefs?
Well, because the argument would be that if 95% or 85% of people are feeling benefited by it and the 15% are not, isn't it better to benefit the 85%, especially if once we start to say all feelings are allowed? What if I said I hate people of a certain race? Would, you know, and I really feel it deeply. Let's say I'm a, you know, whatever it is. I'm a terrible racist. Should that feeling be acknowledged?
No, obviously not. But let's turn that around. You know, you're talking about, you know, the 85% that get some benefit from it, but you know you could have made that argument back in the days of Jim Crow. You know, and the 15% who were African American. You know, tough luck for them. I mean, so here's my compromise. Have a tree. Don't put an angel on the top of it. Don't put a star on the top of it. Call it the holiday tree.
A reasonable position. I thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Great. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. What's your thoughts on the wisdom of Christmas trees or variations thereof in the workplace?
Hi, is it me?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Okay, great. Well, I agree with your last caller. I like the holiday tree idea and also everything that your wife said. I work somewhere, I'm not going to say where because it's a well-known company, but they did holiday season rather than Christmas, and we did have a tree, but it was the holiday tree, and a day where it was similar to what your wife described. Everybody was welcome to come and decorate it. They could put homemade decorations on if they wanted to, and we did have indeed hot chocolate, cookies, goodies, and at the same time we gave Secret Santa to each other.
Right.
It was so fun, and people also would decorate their cubicles where the company provided decorations, but you could again bring in your own and decorate for Kwanzaa, for Hanukkah, for whatever pagan, whatever you desired, and we would also sing carols where they were from all different religious beliefs, and it was just more of just a general holiday seasonal celebration for everyone. And additionally, we would raise money, and everyone would decide on a charity and give money to a charity each year to the community.
Sounds cool. Let me build on that. So I like the idea of that holiday tree, and what if people were encouraged to put symbols of whatever traditions they believed in. If they were Kwanzaa advocates, they put a Kwanzaa thing on there and a Hanukkah thing and a atheist thing. There's got to be some kind of atheist symbol. There's got to be some symbol for people like me, and it shouldn't be giving the finger.
They put a peace sign. I mean, people put up Kwanzaa symbols. They put up, you know, and we also played dreidel. Just, and people would put up whatever they wanted. You could put a peace sign on it, a heart, whatever you wanted to. Oh, I'm sorry. And we also had the day when we would have the community come in, and little children were there, and it was just so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, the Secret Santa thing I really like, because you're only giving one present to one person rather than feeling you got to give a gift to everybody. It's a nice sense of moderation, and it's excitement guessing who the Secret Santa is. I loved your call.
It was a dollar limit. It was like a kind of joke Secret Santa where it was $5 or less.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. It was more just the feeling of just, you know, camaraderie and community and just, you know, happiness for the season in general.
You know, these are the toughest economic times we've had since the Great Depression. And if we can't have these simple little pleasures to leaven, you know, all of the seriousness and the fear of downsizing, you know, the new fiscal year is coming in January. And what happens is many workplaces are forced to lay off people right around Christmas because of the new fiscal year. If we can't even have a damn Christmas tree, pardon the inappropriate juxtaposition of words there. I don't know. Anyway, thank you very much.
The holiday tree.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. What's your opinion about Christmas trees at work?
Oh, good morning. I think I agree with the last couple callers, but I would use the term festivus tree rather than holiday tree.
Why?
And it's because I think it's a good good way to characterize it. You're probably not familiar with the term festivus, I guess, huh? Festivus for the rest of us. Maybe you should watch. I won't even.
Why don't you educate us? What is a festivus?
Oh, it's a joke from the television show Seinfeld. And one of the characters in it doesn't want to celebrate Christmas, and so he refers to it as festivus, and
Got
he
it.
Celebrates it as festivus. And,
okay.
I think it's interesting though that you really want to impose your faith on everybody else. Your wife, you know, wants to say that we were founded as a Christian nation and this and that. And I think then you leap to the slippery slope argument of, you know, what if someone's a racist or something like that? It's just, you know, have a tree. A tree's a nice thing to have. You call it a holiday tree, a festivus tree, whatever you want to call it. But it doesn't have to be denominational. It's a non-denominational tree. Maybe we could call it the non-denominational celebration. And it's a day to celebrate whatever your beliefs are, whatever your faith is. But it's a day to think about your family. It's a day to think about people that are in need and try and help them. And otherwise, as far as any kind of religion enters into it, that's your own private matter.
Sure. The question I would raise is, if this brings up such a level of sensitivity, as one of the other callers said previously, if our amplifier of offense-taking is set so low that it takes very little to offend us, there is so much that goes, if somebody... let's say something substantive in the workplace, and somebody criticizes another person's idea in front of the other person, they're so easily taken offense, especially if it's of a different race, gender, sexual orientation, or social class. If we keep the if we're on a hair trigger every minute, we're walking around with memo pads looking for offense because somebody has a photo that they think is maybe too suggestive in the workplace. Are we not setting us up for a society that is going to just be fighting each other constantly? Do we not, as my wife said, need to lighten up just a bit?
I think you're actually using extreme examples to justify your opinion. And the fact is that people like me can feel just as strongly about not what really wanting God, your idea of God or Jesus or whatever else to enter our lives, just like you don't want my ideas about whatever things might offend you to be brought up in front of you and for you to even have to think about. You know?
Perhaps I didn't make it clear enough. We've not, neither my wife nor I have said a word that even implied that we are atheist Jews. We are not trying to bring God or any traditional tradition into the workplace. I want to thank you for the call. You know, this is probably as good a time as any before we go to the calls. One of the traditions most years on Work with Marty Nemko, the question of the holiday Christmas party, for all the reasons that have been brought up by the callers, it is one of many examples of how our sensitivities are so heightened. And this is only a slight, alas, parody of what goes on in the today's holiday party. So this is a series of emails that I will read to you. This is from Ms. Pat Smith, Human Resources Director, to everyone regarding the Christmas party, date December 1. I'm happy to inform you that the office Christmas party will take place on December 23rd, starting at noon in the banquet room at Luigi's Open Pit Barbecue. No host bar, but plenty of eggnog. We'll have a small band playing traditional carols. Feel free to sing along, and don't be surprised if our general manager shows up dressed as Santa Claus. Next email, from Pat Smith, Human Resources Director, date December 2nd, the day afterwards, the Christmas party. In no way was yesterday's memo intended to exclude our Jewish employees. We recognize that Hanukkah is an important holiday which often coincides with Christmas, though unfortunately not this year. However, from now on, we are calling it our holiday party. The same policy applies to employees who are celebrating Kwanzaa at this time. The next day, from Pat Smith, Human Resource Director, date December 3rd, regarding the holiday party. Regarding the note I received from a member of Alcoholics Anonymous requesting a non-drinking table, you didn't sign your name. I'm happy to accommodate this request, but if I put up a sign on the table that reads AA only, you won't be anonymous anymore. How am I supposed to handle this? Somebody? Next email, from Pat Smith, Human Resource Director, date December 7th, regarding the holiday party. What a diverse company we are. I had no idea that December 20th begins the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which forbids eating, drinking, and intimacy during daylight hours. There goes the party. Seriously, we can appreciate how a luncheon at this time of year does not accommodate our Muslim employees' beliefs. Perhaps Luigi's can hold off on serving your meal until the end of the party, or else package everything for take-home in little foil swans. Will that work? Meanwhile, I have arranged for members of Overeaters Anonymous to sit farthest from the dessert buffet, and pregnant women will get the table closest to the restrooms. Did I miss anything? Yes, gays are allowed to sit with each other, and lesbians do not have to sit with any men. And yes, there will be a flower arrangement for the gay men's table. From Pat, next email from Pat Smith, Human Resources Director, date December 8th, regarding the holiday party. So, December 22nd marks the winter solstice. Fire regulations at Luigi's prohibit the burning of sage by our, quote, earth-based goddess-worshipping, end quote, employees, but we will try to accommodate your shamanic drumming circle during the band's breaks. Okay? Next email from Pat Smith, Human Resources Director, December 9th, regarding the holiday party. People, nothing sinister was intended by having our CEO dress up like Santa Claus. Even if the anagram of Santa does happen to be Satan, there is no evil connotation to our own, quote, little man in a red suit, end quote. Could we lighten up? From Pat Smith, Human Resource Director, date December 10th, regarding the holiday party. Vegetarians, we are going to keep this party at Luigi's Open Pit Barbecue, whether you like it or not, so you can sit quietly at the table furthest from the, quote, grill of death, end quote, as you so quaintly put it, and you will get your darn salad bar, including hydroponic tomatoes. But, you know, they have feelings, too. Tomatoes scream when you slice them. I've heard them scream. I'm hearing them scream right now. And the final email is not from Pat Smith, but from Karen Jones, Acting Human Resources Director, date, December 14th, Ms. Pat Smith and the holiday party. I'm sure I speak for all of us in wishing Pat Smith a speedy recovery from her stress-related illness, and I'll continue to forward your cards to her at the sanitarium. In the meantime, management has decided to cancel our holiday party and give everyone the afternoon of the 23rd off with full pay. Happy holidays. Okay, we are talking about Christmas trees in the workplace and the various derivative ideas that come from that. So, let's go right back to the phones. Welcome to, I haven't had to give it the phone number. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. What do you think about Christmas trees, holiday trees in the workplace?
Hello.
Hi.
This is the first caller calling back again.
Okay.
And I don't want to take up time because I've already talked to you, but I did not mean that it was an offense to people in the workplace. My notion, my idea is all religious notions need to be kept out of the workplace, just like they should be kept out of all public areas. Having a celebration, having a tree, it's wonderful. It's just I don't want the proselytizing of Christians, and believe me, it's very pervasive, and I understand you don't recognize that. I also just wanted to say that your wife Barbara Nemco said that this is a Christian country. I don't think it is. My reading of American history shows that the leaders were, if anything, atheists. The important leaders: Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Ben Franklin. That's all. So, I didn't take offense when I was in the workplace.
I just want to make clear, Barbara didn't say it was. It certainly was founded on. There were certainly, if you read the Declaration of Independence and you read the Constitution, God is mentioned many times. One nation under God is core, and indeed, the Puritans. This is certainly. While there were others, there were Native Americans clearly here before the Christians. Certainly, this is, you know, religion and Christianity specifically has been foundational to this country. And her point was simply that despite it having a clearly Christian foundational basis, that it is a nation that is more welcoming of people of different faiths than, alas, as we've seen in many other parts of the world. I thank you for the call. Let's go back.
Wait, hold on one second. Those leaders that I mentioned were very careful not to have any association with religion when they issued their views on the country that they were founding. Right. I think you have to agree with me on that.
I will trust you. Thank you. I was merely responding to what's in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and certainly the founding of this country by the Puritans. Not founding, but the initial establishment of the Puritans was certainly very Christian in nature. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air.
Hi, Marty.
Hi. What's your perspective on Christmas trees and holiday trees and
yeah.
any of that in the workplace?
From what you just said, the pledge originally read, "One nation indivisible." They added "under God" in the 50s.
Well, it's the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm talking about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
I'm talking about the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right, I understand what you were talking about. Okay, was that your point?
No, that's not my point.
Okay.
My point is that the Christmas tree, a decorated tree, goes back far beyond Christianity. It was celebrated in Europe. It was also celebrated in Japan. And it's one of those holidays the church took over because it was such a popular holiday. Christ wasn't born in December. He was probably born in March. So it's an adaptation to... This is a celebration of the returning of the light, the solstice. And that's why Christmas is so close to the solstice.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
So make it a non-Christian party.
And that's, I think, there is a fair degree of consensus that the risk-reward ratio is best if we call it a holiday tree and invite people perhaps to either decorate it with whatever symbols from whatever traditions they feel are appropriate, and make sure that religion itself does not get infected, quote-unquote, into the workplace. Is that a fair summary?
Exactly. And I mean, the people who came over here, who founded the country, were running away from a state that called itself a Christian country, because they had different versions of Christianity. So they wanted to get over here and make a state that wasn't.
Educate me. Certainly the Christopher Columbus, he was a Catholic, and he was not escaping from any persecution at all. He came to discover the West Indies.
I'm talking about the colonists. Like in Virginia, and even more specifically in Massachusetts.
Okay.
There were people running... The Massachusetts, particularly the Pilgrims that we know of, were running away from state persecution. Because they were, in England at the time, you had to attend the church sponsored by the state every week or you got fined.
Good point. Thank you very much for the call.
They came over here and decided, it gradually worked its way up until the Constitution, the people who made the Constitution decided this can't be a Christian country or any other religion country. Because as soon as you declare yourself one thing, you're not another. And, of course, you know, there's a dozen Christian churches around here, none of whom agree with the other. So if you were to make a national religion, think of the trouble you'd have.
True enough. Thank you very much for the call. Let's take one more call, and then we're going to move off of this. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. What is your thoughts about holiday celebrations in the workplace?
Is that me?
It is.
Oh, great. I'm... a little concerned about the focus on people lightening up. it feels to me that my understanding of history is that most of the liberation movements, you know, that have fought against and made great progress in terms of sexism and homophobia and racism and classism and disability rights have been people who have felt excluded, not heard, and not taken seriously, and so they spoke out. So what I'm hearing today is a lot of degradation of people who speak out for what they think is important.
So you're sounding
and
like
I'm
you're creating
really
a so it sounds like you're creating a parallelism between speaking out against sexism, racism, and homophobia with the presence of a holiday tree in a workplace.
Yeah, because we're talking about inclusivity and people feeling safe and comfortable in their workplaces, and you know, even the way you talked about sexual harassment, everything you talked about, you actually included almost all of those things. And first of all, it's not a holiday season for many, many people. There are a lot of people who celebrate their holidays at other times of the year. So saying that Christmas time is the holiday season, even if you keep it as simple and apparently non-Christian, it's not everybody's holiday. It's definitely an imposed holiday based on what your wife was talking about, exactly, because of the Christian domination of this country. And it's a very scary time for Christian domination for people who either aren't Christian or even who are Christian who don't believe in that literal way of expressing it. So I happen to be an observant Jewish person who doesn't want to celebrate my holidays in the workplace. I don't want... Hanukkah is not a big holiday for the Jews.
Right, we said that. Right.
At all. So it actually, the reason it became a big holiday was because people were celebrating Christmas in schools and in workplaces, and people had felt they needed to somehow give their children something so they didn't feel excluded.
Right.
So there's a way in which this whole conversation is really distorted and isn't bringing in true inclusivity. I would love for people in the workplace to share their own traditions and cultures, but do it in their homes. Invite people to their homes. Don't have it be such a thing that, you know, if you don't go or if you object that you get somehow discriminated. I can't tell you how many people I counsel about this who feel their children feel really excluded at school because they're the only whatever, and there's, you know, a mandatory Christmas caroling or part of the music system, or, well, they'll throw in a Kwanzaa thing or they'll throw in a Hanukkah thing. That's not respectful to anybody's traditions. So I think that we need to work harder at finding ways to be more inclusive and more celebratory and really learning about one another's traditions instead of thinking that those who are sensitive somehow have to lighten up and adjust to the dominant culture. That's my feeling.
I want to thank you for the call. I think we all agree that injecting religion into the workplace is probably best left out and probably best done privately, unless in a particular workplace there is a culture where it's so ubiquitous. But what we were talking about, I think, is a very secular version, not a Christianizing. It has become a very secular symbol. And I worry terribly that if we take slights of what, in this case, really, at least this is one guy's opinion. You know, you want to celebrate different opinions? This is one guy's opinion. If we can be as exercised as the previous caller was about the presence of a clearly non-religious, non-coercive, a symbol of peace and goodwill, and we are to encourage people, we are to say it is okay to be that sensitive and not to tell people to lighten up. Notice we're not talking about racism, sexism, homophobia like the caller was trying to parallel. We are creating a dysfunctional society that can never get along. Remember, for millennia, people have fought over religion. They have fought over nothing. In domestic violence, they kill each other over nothing. If we are to try to wrap ourselves in the mantle of celebrating diversity by saying we need to establish, we have a right to be offended at a completely secular holiday tree with multicultural decorations on it, How can we ever expect a workplace to function? How can we ever expect a family to function? We should not be expanding. It's very, once you use the word racism, sexism, homophobia, it gets magnified. If every time you say, maybe this is not worthy of getting upset, we say, hey, that's just what you're being like you're speaking as though it was racism, sexism, homophobia. Everything is escalated to fury level, to litigation level. That is not the formula by which, ironically, the people who most want to celebrate diversity are advocating. They want peace and goodwill to all people and everybody getting along. How can everybody get along when everybody can take offense so easily? My position is, and then we're going to go off this topic, I'll take a couple of three-minute career makeovers, is that a holiday tree, completely non-secular, decorated by any whatever way people want, from whatever traditions, religious or otherwise, like a peace sign, or even, heaven forbid, an American flag on the other end of the continuum, as if a flag is supposed to be something conservative, I think represents a lot more good than bad. If in a workplace there is a lot of people taking offense at it, then to say, like the previous call, let's just keep it all out of there. We'll have a completely sober workplace. There will be not only Christmas trees, but there will be nothing other than work-related conversation, because people can get offended if you say, nice blouse. My dominant emotion from listening to this is sadness. So I'm not going to take any more call. We've discussed this more than enough. I think we've heard about a dozen or more different perspectives. Let's give you at least a chance. If you are suffering as we enter this holiday season with work malaise and you would like a three-minute career makeover, workover, or whatever you want to call it, you've got a work problem. I'd be happy to help you out. All you need to do is call our number here at Work with Marty Nemko, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Do we have a work-related caller online? Do we not? Or let me then, I think we'll wait a moment. Let me, something on a more chipper note, if you will. Forbes magazine came up with they had a survey of what they call the 10 happiest jobs. And I found that interesting because much of it resonates with what I've experienced with my many clients. Number one is clergy, interestingly enough. Because even though they don't get paid very much, most clergy people don't. They have certainly a pro-social mission. They have a very varied job. They are giving sermons. They are comforting the sick. They are counseling young people. There's even a business side of being a cleric. Very high satisfaction. I remember reading a survey about that a couple of years ago that indeed found that clergy was, along with hairdressers, are among the happiest people in the workplace. Another is firefighters. 80% of firefighters are very satisfied with their jobs. Because they are not only helping people, but they do have lots of time where they get to hang out in the firehouse. And they get a lot of time off. I think they work generally. It varies with the jurisdiction, but they work 4 days and then they're off for three. Physical therapists. You're working one-on-one. You don't usually have nights and weekend hours. You're usually helping people make progress. That's one of the careers that has high job satisfaction. Authors. Now, of course, it's very difficult to make money as an author. You usually make no money as an author. But certainly the autonomy of writing down the contents of your mind and the research you do does lead one to be happy. I'll give out the phone number one more time. If you would like a three-minute career makeover, is Joanne, do you know if that person is? We don't know. I don't think she is. She called before or he called before the quest. If you'd like some career advice, we've just got a couple minutes left. This is the time to call in. 415-841-4134 is the number here at Work with Marty Nemko. 415-841-4134. Let's see. Special ed teachers. You know, many people, while the progress is slow in working with special ed kids, it is something that you're generally working with small classes. Or one-on-one, in some cases where you go into a kid's regular class and work with them one-on-one. That can be pretty rewarding. And notwithstanding what is often said, the teacher's pay, when you consider the benefits and the amount of training and the job security and time off, is you know, compared to so many other people with bachelor's and master's degrees, is certainly not bad. So it's not surprising that special education teachers are quite happy. Teachers in general, if they survive the first 5 years, you need a gift. It is not easy to be a teacher. And almost, you know, depending upon the, you know, what area, but almost half of new teachers are gone within 5 years. But if you've made it past that, if you have the gift, the ability to control a classroom without yelling, and some teachers do, by somehow being, you know, having the kids love you in a way, and yet being firm enough to set limits, if you can get past the first 5 years, teaching indeed is one of the most rewarding professions. Artists. Again, the words starving and artist go together all the time for a reason, because it is very hard. I remember reading a study a few years ago that 95% of people who call themselves professional artists make less than $2,000 a year from their art. Nonetheless, if you can make a living at it, combined with a standard day job, they're certainly not surprisingly. Sculptors, painters report very high job satisfaction. Psychologists, you know, to be honest, the efficacy rate of psychotherapy is iffy. Some really gifted ones have very good efficacy rates, but most have iffy or less efficacy rates. But it's a very rewarding job. You're working one-on-one. It's you're not overwhelmed by a million different bosses getting in your way, different forces on you. You're working one-on-one with somebody. That's a very rewarding and quiet and peaceful way to work. It's a very high job satisfaction among psychologists. And this surprised me a little bit on first blush, but on reflection, I'm not surprised. Financial services sales agents. 65% of financial services sales agents, that's insurance salesmen, financial product salespeople, are reported to be happy with their jobs. Part of that's the money. Financial services sales tends to, if you're good at it, again, like every other field, if you're not good at it, you're going to make nothing. But if you're good at it, they can make six-figure incomes with a 40-hour work week, none of this 60-hour week stuff. And you're working in a comfortable office environment. And if you are ethical and really helping people to wisely shepherd their money, that can be very rewarding. And finally, number 10. Operating engineers. These are people who play with you could call them giant toys, like bulldozers and backhoes and derricks and cranes and big shovels and air compressors. For some people, that's very fun. In fact, there is a relative shortage of people in these skilled trades. So, especially if they're able to be well employed, that can be, for the right person, a rewarding job. So, those were the top 10: clergy, firefighters, physical therapists, authors, special ed teachers, teachers, artists, psychologists, financial service sales agents, and operating engineers. And that is Work with Marty Nemco for this week. I want to thank my board operator, Joanne Marr, and, of course, all of you for listening and calling in. Please join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do 3-minute career makeovers on callers. And I'll speak with the deputy editor of The Futurist magazine, Patrick Tucker, on work and careers in the future. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.